CD7.
It was only a hip bath, but at least there was an ice house in the city. Moist sat in a state of bliss amongst the floating ice, drinking a brandy and listened to the commotion outside. After a while, there was a knock at the door and a male voice inquired, "Are you decent, Mr. Postmaster?" "Thoroughly decent, but not dressed," said Moist. He reached down beside him and put his winged hat on again. "Do come in." The mayor of Stolat was a short, bird-like man who'd either become mayor very recently and immediately after the post had been held by a big fat man, or thought that a robe that trailed several feet behind you and a chain that reached the waist was the look for civic dignitaries this year.
Joel Gammell, sir," he said nervously. "I am the mayor here."
"Really? Good to meet you, Joe," said Moist, raising his glass. "Excuse me if I don't get up."
"Your horse has run away after kicking three men, I'm sorry to say."
"Really? He never usually does that," said Moist.
"Don't worry, sir, we'll catch him, and anyway we can let you have a horse to get back on. Not as fast, though, I dare say."
"Oh, dear," said Moist, easing himself into a new position amongst the floating ice. "That's a shame."
"Oh, I know all about you, Mr. Lipvig," said the mayor, winking conspiratorially. "There were some copies of the Times in the mailbag. A man who wants to be up and doing, you are. A man full of vim, you are. A man after my own heart, you are. You aim for the moon, you do. You see your target and you go for it, hell for leather, you do. That's how I does business, too. You're a go-getter, just like me. I'd like you to put it here, sir."
"What where?" said Moist, stirring uneasily in his rapidly becoming lukewarm tub. "Oh," he shook the proffered hand. "What is your business, Mr. Camels?"
"I make parasols," said the mayor. "And it's about time that Clax Company was told what's what. It was all fine up until a few months ago. I mean, they made you pay through the nose, but at least stuff got where it was going as fast as an arrow. But now it's all these breakdowns and repairs, and they charge even more, mark you. And they never tell you how long you're going to be waiting. It's always very shortly. They're always sorry for the inconvenience. They even got that written on the sign they hang up on the office. As warm and human as a thrown knife, just like you said. So you know what we just done? We went round to the Clack Star in the city and had a serious word with young Davy, who's a decent lad, and he gave us back all the overnight clacks for the big city that never got sent. How about that, eh?
Won't he get into trouble?
He says he's quitting anyway. None of the boys like the way the company's run now. They've all been stamped for you, just like you said. Well, I'll let you get dressed, Mr. Lipvig. Your horse is ready."
He stopped at the door.
"Oh, just one thing, sir, about them stamps."
"Yes? Is there a problem, Mr. Camels?" said Moist.
"Not as such, sir. I wouldn't say anything against Lord Vetinari, sir, or Ankh Morpork," said a man living within 20 miles of a proud and touchy citizenry. But it doesn't seem right licking Ankh Morpork stamps. Couldn't you print up a few for us? We've got a queen, nice girl. She'd look good on a stamp. We're an important city, you know."
"I'll see what I can do, Mr. Camels. Got a picture of her by any chance?"
"They'll all want one," he thought as he got dressed. "Having your own stamps could be like having your own flag, your own crest. It could be big. And I bet I could do a deal with my friend Mr. Spools. Oh, yes. Doesn't matter if you haven't got your own post office. You've got to have your own stamp."
An enthusiastic crowd saw him off on a horse which, while no Boris, did his best and seemed to know what reins were for. Moist gratefully accepted the cushion on the saddle, too. That added more glitter to the glass. He'd ridden so hard he needed a cushion. He set off with a full mailbag. Amazingly, once again, people had bought stamps just to own them. The Times had got around. Here was something new, so people wanted to be part of it. Once he was cantering over the fields, though, he felt the fizz die away. He was employing Stanley, a bunch of game but creaky old men, and some golems. He couldn't keep this up. But the thing was, you added sparkle. You told people what you intended to do, and they believed you could do it. Anyone could have done this ride. No one had. They kept waiting for the clacks to be repaired. He took things gently along the road, speeding up as he passed the Clax Tower that had been under repair. It was still under repair, in fact, but he could see more men around it and high up on the tower. There was a definite suggestion that repair work was suddenly going a lot faster. As he watched, he was sure he saw someone fall off. It probably wouldn't be a good idea to go over there and see if he could help, though. Not if he wanted to continue to go through life with his own teeth. Besides, it was a long, long drop all the way down to the cabbage fields, handily combining death and burial at the same time. He speeded